You're listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel, a podcast where we invite honest conversations around culture, church, faith, and life. Now here are our hosts, Ryan Falls and Matt Conrad.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining us. This is episode 4 of Asking for a Friend. We're not going to have our celebratory woohoo, but woohoo, Asking for a Friend. And Matt, will you... Was that good?
You just pretty said expressive. We weren't going to do it, and then you
okay,
just went,
Matt, what's today? What's today's
we're
question?
We're still excited, right? We're excited to make it
episode
we're
glad to be here.
We have a great question for us to discuss today. Our question today is something wrong with my faith if I have mental health issues?
Yeah, this is a really important question because, you know, for many of us who have grown up in the church, this wasn't really something we could talk about for a long, long time. There's been a stigma attached to it, and I think it's good just to start the conversation with, what are we talking about? What does that mean? I'll start off by saying that no one in this room around this table is a mental health professional, but Matt and I have been in ministry for several decades, both of us, and Kaylee has been alive for several decades.
Or at least a couple.
And so please hear what we're saying today from our point of view. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good to differentiate between clinical and non-clinical. And the clinical would be the level at which you would need a mental health professional to walk with you. Maybe even medication would be appropriate for you. So things like major depressive episodes, bipolar 1 or bipolar 2, you know, a clinical anxiety, narcissistic or sociopathic or borderline personality disorders. If you had something like schizophrenia, or you struggle with a clinical level of obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, you may not be on the clinical end of the spectrum. Many people are, and they don't get help for it. But most of us, all of us, not most of us, every single person who's ever walked on planet Earth has struggled with being really, really sad mm-hmm. at some point. All of us have struggled with anxiety at some point. Many of us have a mild form of OCD, and trivia, what is a profession in the top 10 full of people, like they're the top 10 professions as they list them, what's one of the professions in the top 10 of people who have narcissistic personality disorder? You ready? What is it?
Judge Judy.
Nope.
Nope. Well, I'm gonna reluctantly say pastor.
Yeah, pastoral ministry. So pastoral ministry is a hiding place for people who are narcissists. And we're not going to talk about the people that we know that we think are, right? No, we're not going to do that.
Different episode.
But that was a joke. Matt, talk about just how the church has sort of approached this issue, generally speaking.
Yeah, it's probably a bit simplistic, but I think generally there are two different ways that people, especially in the church, approach the issues surrounding mental health. The first is that we view it as something that's caused by lack of faith, and that the struggle really is a faith problem or a faith issue. The other way we often see it is kind of the opposite of that, and that mental health challenges and issues are the result of living in a broken world, and therefore not the result of a lack of faith. And I think it'd be good for us to kind of take a little bit of time and talk about each of these. So let's start with the first one, that mental health is due to a lack of faith. What do you guys think about that? How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, have you guys ever heard someone struggling with anxiety? Let's just take that as a case study here to start. It's at a clinical level. You know, they have their circumstances are okay. What I'm saying is, you know, life circumstantially is okay, and they worry irrationally about things that they shouldn't really worry about, but they can't stop the internal dialogue, the chatter in their mind. And so they either
guilty.
Name these things.
Right, guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, if I went to that person and I said, just have faith, what does that do to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it really diminishes the reality they're living in. You know, it's like, I think an entire invisible congregation of people struggling with these things, you know, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not real to people.
Yeah, like people will typically take a passage like Philippians 4, which is a beautiful passage written by the Apostle Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit.
On a lot of walls in mother's homes.
Yeah, on a lot of walls. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything, right? That's the summation of what Paul says. And he says, then the result of that is that the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus as you walk through life. And so people will take a passage like that, go to someone who's struggling with anxiety and say, well, you just need to pray that, in essence, you just need to have faith, buddy or sweetheart, right? This is what you need to do. Bless your heart. You just need to name these things to God. And then it's all going to, in some formulaic way, go away or stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we have the example of Jesus on the other side of that in the garden.
Garden.
Of what?
Of Yosemite.
That's what Kaylee has called it many, many times. It wasn't free solo Jesus.
So close. Right. So close, right?
He didn't
think he was from California.
Yeah, he was not. He was not a Californian.
He wasn't a sponsor for REI.
No, he didn't. Nope. He didn't. Jesus didn't roll up into the valley, you know, and decide which mountain he wanted to climb that day.
A lot of those climbers do kind of look like Jesus, though, if you think about it. Right?
Yes. Maybe
I'm getting us off topic. Back to the garden. Thanks, the other garden. Not Yosemite.
Not Yosemite. Yeah.
But Gethsemane.
Gethsemane. And Matt, talk a little bit about Jesus' approach there.
Yeah, I think what we see, you know, this is probably Jesus in his most human moments, struggling with knowing that he was going to die a brutal, awful, painful death,
mm-hmm.
knowing that his best friends, his closest followers were going to deny the fact that they even knew him. He was going to go through this alone, and he pleads with God to remove this burden from him, you know, to the point of it says that he sweat droplets of blood, which can actually happen to people when they're under extreme stress and duress. And so we see him weak and broken and calling out to God for help and for relief.
Yeah, is prayer so helpful in this conversation? Because he doesn't say, God, fix this for me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, here's what I'm struggling with, and I need you just to make it better right now in a moment. Poof, it'll go away. You know? He says, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. In other words, he kind of embraces the second approach to this, that these issues are a result of living in a broken world. So they're not a result of a lack of faith. So there's nothing wrong with someone's faith. Therefore, if they struggle with extreme worry, with major episodes of depression, it's not that there's something deficient in their faith, but he has this posture as he walks with the Father, and he says, if you'll take this from me, if you'll heal me, if you'll move me through this trial, that's awesome. But it's not my will, it's yours that I want to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, some of those struggles, like I struggle a lot with anxiety, and I think that something cool about it is it really challenged my faith, and I think it's brought me closer to God to have to go through those real things, because you can learn stuff in church and hear things, but until you like experience like a deep need to depend on something, you know, if you make it God, it really helps navigating those things easier. It makes you more human. And it's nice to know that like God or Jesus had to go through those things, because it makes you feel understood by God. Like even though like Jesus was perfect, he was also human. So he understands how we feel. And I don't think anyone told me that in church until later in my growing up, and that made me feel so much more comforted than just being thrown a verse, but to know like Jesus understands how you feel, you know, in those things.
Do you think, I mean, when Jesus was praying that prayer, do you think that he experienced what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4? The peace of God?
Oh.
Yeah. Not that he wasn't anxious, but it was like what he did with the anxiety in that moment, right?
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely.
Kaylee was
the answer
not
is yes, Kaylee. Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is either yes or Jesus. I mean, come on.
I went to business school. My first instinct was to be like, you know, just market growth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where is there something wrong with my faith? I think that's a really interesting question, but it hits at the heart of what a lot of people wrestle with as they wrestle through these things. If you struggle with anxiety, if you're so sad that you don't want to get out of bed, if there are other things that are broken in you, it could be like, well, if I just trusted more and tried harder, then wouldn't this all be resolved? But, you know, we live in a broken world, a good, but a broken world. So that would be like saying to somebody who has diabetes, if you just trusted God, then you wouldn't need to take insulin, right? If you just trusted God, then your cancer would go away. If you just trusted God, then you wouldn't take any precautions if you got the COVID, right? If you got COVID. It doesn't need a...
Brendan just laughed. Brendan looked over at you like...
Brendan rolled his eyes at me. He's going to edit that out. Brendan doesn't
like it. He's
going to
make that part louder.
Yeah. And now he's crying again. At least once an episode.
Brendan. Here it is. Poor Brendan. Oh, now he's throwing his head and stuff.
It's really bad in here, you guys. This is a very, very toxic environment we sit in.
Well, then, what are some takeaways then?
That's good, Kaylee. Let's turn this back around.
That's really good.
I do think there are some helpful things in there. And just back to what you were just saying, Ryan, I think part of it, you know, for all people, but even in the church, sometimes there's this stigma attached to mental health, mm-hmm. where we do treat it different than other medical conditions. And I think as much as we can, you know, to see this for what it is, it's a part of our human condition. It's something that people struggle with in a lot of different ways. But it's not something that anybody should be embarrassed of or mm-hmm. ashamed of. You know, you referenced cancer. Part of my story is that I've struggled with cancer. And when I went through that, there was no embarrassment in that. There's no shame in that. It was easy to talk about, to ask people to support me, to pray for me. And I think the more we can create environments of community where that's what people experience is acceptance and support and care, I think is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. When I started dealing with anxiety, I was 15 in youth group here. And I think that community, thankfully, I had a positive experience with how my Christian community responded to me struggling with those things. But I feel like you hear in a lot of people's experience with church that it tends not to be a super safe space to explore those struggles. And I think it's getting better and the awareness of it is getting better. But yeah, it can definitely feel like something you just have to figure out. And once you do, then you're good, you know, but that's not the reality of it.
Right. And finally, I agree with all that. And finally, there are resources available. Even at our church, we have a team of interns who are training to be mental health professionals. They finish school and they're working in an internship role. We have other people on staff. So I think if you're wrestling through these things, just like we said, get help. There are many resources and tools available, and don't be ashamed of it. Get the help that you need. I see a counselor. It's one of my favorite times every week. I just love it. It helps me so much. There's no shame in that at all.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to acknowledge, like, it takes courage to ask for help. It's really scary.
Yeah.
It's really intimidating. I'd say for a majority of my story, I feel like I stuffed my struggles and I really just thought I could navigate it and figure it out. But yeah, it takes courage to ask for help, and it's super admirable, and yeah, no shame around needing help, even just for a season or your whole life or through medication, all those things. Brendan's crying tears of joy now. What I said was so profound. Thank you, Brendan.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about
yeah.
on this topic, but we probably need to wrap it up for today. But I always love these conversations with you guys. And we do, again, just want to say to those of you who are listening, thank you for listening. And if this is an area where you are struggling, know that you're not alone mm-hmm. and that God sees you and he wants to be there with you and meet you in the midst of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last thing, can we leave everyone with how we do self-care? Because mine's really embarrassing. Guys, my best form of self-care, I love Coke Slurpees. I don't know. Slurpees. It just feels like it fixes things. That's not true.
From Burger King.
From 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, right?
Yeah, COVID ruined it.
Yeah, I know. You go to Burger King. That's what I've heard because of COVID. I know. We know each other really well here.
There's one right up the hill from church.
Yeah, mine is exercise.
That's just not.
I know.
That's a lame one.
Mine's
okay,
eating.
Moving on.
I like to eat. I like, you know, Red Robin French fries. Yeah. Yeah, make it three baskets. Thank you.
That is self-care.
Yeah.
Well, you had the lamest self-care thing. So what should people do if they have questions for us? How do they wrap
Mine
it up?
Mine wasn't lame. Mine was awesome. Email us. AFF@westminster.org. Stop talking, okay? Leave me alone. I feel I'm crying now. Inside, okay? Tears on the inside. AFF@westminster.org, or you can go to our website and anonymously submit a question there as well. Please tell us what you're thinking about and what you're wondering about. We love all these questions that we're getting. They're great. And we'll see you or talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to Asking for a Friend with Westminster Chapel. If you or your friend would like to share a question, email us at aff@westminster.org.